Is she coming? You'll be coming for
discipleship.
Yes.
Okay, I've got us on page 9 on angelology. We're going to talk about the creation of angels, where they came from.
Page 8.
Thank you. All right. The creation of angels. The creation of angels is a fact. Psalm 148 and verse 2. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Angels. John chapter 1 and verse 3.
No, you missed one story, sir.
Did I stop? Oh, 2 and 5. Thank you. Verse 5 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commandeth and they were created. Let them, speaking of the angels, because he commanded not only the heavens and the waters, but also the angels, he commanded and they were created. John chapter 1 and verse 3. Is an angel a thing, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So in John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything, including angels, were created. Angels exist and are real because God created them. Jesus Christ himself is the almighty creator. God's beloved Son created all the angels, Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1, 16. For by him, him being Christ, were all things created. All things that are in heaven, and all things that are in earth, all things that are visible, and all things that are, what's the next word? Those are spirits. And the things that are even invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and they were created for him. And that proves that the angels are not the spirits of departed or glorified human beings. See, some people think angels are your dearly departed grandmother visiting you. And that's not true at all. The psalmist calls on all the celestial heavens, including the angels, to praise God. The reason is, he commanded and they were created. The angels, as well as all the celestial heavens, are declared to be created by God.
You know the way some people say book of Revelation, you know, the angel that's talking to John, they say that that's Daniel.
That's right.
What would you think of that?
That is a funny bunny. That is an an exception. I don't understand why he's called an angel. And but I know that the angels, we know that the angels were created before the creation of the world, correct? Alright, so if I could be, why do I do this? Alright, if I could be simple. Alright, number one, angels exist before creation of the universe, correct?
Yep.
Alright, number two, it says that angels are innumerable already. So they're already created as a number. Number three, angels are messengers. That's their primary role. They are servants, them that inherit eternal life. Other facts about angels. Okay? They are mighty in power. So when we come along and we see somebody who there is one angel who is called refers to himself in Revelation. As a fellow servant, how else does he refer to himself? Does he call himself a prophet? What does he say? Does he say, fellas, hold on here, this is an interesting thing, because there are some things that I have not been able to put my finger on and say definitively. We're in Revelation chapter 22 or 21.
22:9.
All right. Verse 8 says, I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down and worshipped before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So he's a fellow servant, he's a prophet, and he's a believer. Okay. What do you do with that? I don't make that one angel impose on all those others. Okay. I don't understand this one. Could he be Daniel? I expect that he is Daniel. Okay. I wouldn't have a problem with him being Daniel. We don't know. Daniel is told to seal the prophetic nature of the future. And it would make sense that he's explaining it here, and so he gets that privilege of being able to explain the prophecies that he's given in the book of Daniel. So that's a possibility. But whether I come back, he is a messenger sent by God to explain stuff, but he's called an angel. I just know that it'd be wrong for me to say that angels are the departed souls of believers. And I don't believe that at all. One angel implies that you are as the angels. Jesus says, you are as the angels. When you go to heaven, you are as the angels. You're not given and you don't take people in marriage and stuff. You don't live like you don't leave it here. So being as an angel, he's referred to as an angel. I don't know. John, your agenda. What do you think?
I was just saying, could it just be John's description the same way, like if he didn't have a word for the beasts, you know, that he saw, they were just, you know, so this guy was a heavenly being, he just called him an angel. Or
yeah, it's...
But it's just his testimony, you know, like as in,
yeah.
It's not that, it's not God speaking and saying this angel, but if you know what I mean by that directly.
Well, it kind of, I'm not sure if it doesn't say, it says, he showed me a clear water. I want to go back to where that angel shows up. Where does that angel show up?
Is it 21:9?
And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come thither, and I will show thee the bride. If that's the same, and it may very well be, that's a pretty important angel.
Right.
The seven last trumpets.
So is it just basically discount Daniel as being one because...
It doesn't discount him because he says he's a fellow servant, like John was. He's a prophet, like John was. He's a believer, like John was. So he's unique, yes, but he's not totally.
It's in Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, showing to his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John.
Revelation 1:1. Is that one angel? I don't know who that angel is. And sent by his angel unto his servant John. Could his angel be that same angel? That's very interesting. I had never connected it.
I thought it might have been the same one throughout the book.
Well, he says a couple of times, come and see, and what do you see? And Daniel, and John would say, thou knowest, because I don't know. So, I don't know. Barry, I'm curious, but I don't know. I know when I list out all the characteristics of the angels, I know that this angel is a unique angel. And I have not been able, I don't mix him in with all the other angels, because I know that these angels that were created, that were existent at creation, are different than that angel. He's joined with them, but to say that you become an angel when you get to heaven, I'm not sure of that. Because I find, here's another thing, when you come to chapter 6 in book of Revelation, you've got the souls of them that died during the tribulation. And they're not referred to as angels. they're still referred to as souls, and they wear the righteousness of the saints and all this stuff. They're not referred to as angels. So it doesn't talk about it like I'd like it to be clear cut. So I don't know.
Yeah, would you say like people like Enoch that were taken up?
Mm.
Would there be angels?
He doesn't say that they're angels. That's the thing. It doesn't. They become as an angel. All right. Meaning, they're able to fly. They're in heaven. They have characteristics of an angel. But whether they are an angel, I don't find that. I find a few exceptions to the rule. And for that, I don't know. Because I find that, I don't make it just sweep across all the rest of the scriptures. Because then I'm having to have angels that exist at creation in Genesis chapter 38 that says, all the angels and the sons of God rejoiced at creation. Well, all those angels weren't believers before. They were created as angels.
Maybe we existed before we actually came to earth.
Slap him hard. See, when you come to this class, you have to deal with some weirdos like that sometimes. But we laugh at it. It's not. We didn't exist before. I know the Mormons say we existed before, and we're not even going there. Okay. Number B, each individual angel was created directly by God. Go to Matthew chapter 22, and Barry, I'll have you read that just so that you get reviewed. Matthew 22:28-30. Maybe.
Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her.
Right, what's the context?
The Sadducees are giving Jesus kind of a dilemma, like of this guy who had, or this woman who had seven husbands, and then they're trying to say, when they're resurrected, who will be her husband out of the seven?
Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't think anybody would live again after they died. So, well, if she's married seven times, who's going to get her when in the resurrection? All right, go ahead.
Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven.
Okay, so he's defining, he's saying there are angels where?
In heaven.
And there are people here on earth, and the people in the resurrection, they become as angels. Okay? It doesn't say they become angels. That's how come I'm very careful. I'm very particular. That doesn't mean I understand it all. Again, we're talking about things we don't see. And we can become very arrogant and say, oh, it's like this, like this. But there's some things where I just go, psh. It's probably like Einstein trying to figure out, you know, one atom hitting another atom and creating a bomb. I mean, he's describing things he can't see. And you know, when they detonated the first atomic bomb in New Mexico, they really didn't believe it would work. He said, I have all these theories, but I have no idea if it would work. And when it went off, they went, cool. They had no idea that it was going to become like the bombs that it did become. When they dropped the first bomb on Hiroshima, they did the second bomb. They actually had a second bomb because they didn't think it would go off. And so when it did go off, they go, well, we got the second bomb. Let's go ahead and bomb them again. Sorry. Just war just makes me go freaky sometimes when I think. Just because you had another bomb doesn't mean you have to use it. But they went ahead and they used it. All right. So, these angels, we're as angels in heaven. There already were angels in heaven. People become like them. I don't see it saying that they become angels. let's see. Let's look at angels were created directly and individually by God. And Adam was created directly by God, as we know. It says in Genesis chapter 2:7. We don't want to go there right now. Adam was created directly by God, whereas Eve was directly created from Adam. And the rest of us came along by procreation. There's no such thing as a race of angels. Each one seems to have been created individually, and each one's a unique creation of God. Each angel is therefore a direct creation of God. This is probably why they're referred to as sons of God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. I'll show you something maybe you didn't notice in your Bible reading. Genesis chapter... Let me take you back for a second. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, Edward. Genesis 5:1.
This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, the likeness of God made he in.
Okay, so Adam was made in the likeness of
God.
All right, now look down in verse 3.
And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth.
So Adam was created in the image of God, but Adam then has a son, and who's the son like?
Adam.
Ah, so the son Seth is in the image of Adam, and Adam was created in the image of God, but there's something that went wrong in the image, didn't it? Adam sinned. So now his children aren't in the image of God, they're in the image of flawed, defective Adam. Alright, so now chapter 6 and verse 2. Read verse 2 and then read verse 4.
That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown.
All right, so when it talks about these things being sons of God, Adam was known as the son of God because he was directly created by God. And it implies that angels are known as sons of God because they're directly, individually, uniquely created by God. And that's why, one of the reasons why they were called, I believe, sons of God. The word son seems to integrate a direct relation, direct creation of God, as Adam is also called the son of God. And you know, we're called sons of God, aren't we? If any man be in Christ, he is a new
creature.
He's a new creature. All right? So, I didn't get my salvation from my parents, did I? I got my body from my parents, didn't I? I got my soul from my parents. But I got my new birth directly from God, and I became a son of God. I was created. I'm a new creature, created in Christ Jesus by the new birth. I didn't get it from a man. I didn't get it from a church. I got it from God. That's how come the angels...
You say your second birth.
That's your second birth. That's directly from God. So every angel, my statement is, every angel was created directly from God. That's the implication. Number D, angels were created before the earth was. Job chapter 38. Let's go to Job chapter 38. And Francis, would you read verse, where have I got you? 6 and 7, Job 38, 6 and 7.
Thereof, what and or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for them.
Right, notice they're called morning stars. They sing; they're not real stars. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. And in verse 4 it says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth?" When I laid the foundation, talking about when I started to build the earth. And whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? How did I fasten them? Or who laid the cornerstone? when back when the morning stars sang and all the shouts of the sons of God shouted for joy. So when you talk about angels, they were created before the earth was. They were already there when the earth was being created. Their creation took place sometime prior to Genesis chapter 1. And somebody asked, when were the angels created? I don't know. I know they were created before the earth was created. How long has God been around? Forever. From everlasting to everlasting. So somewhere along back there, he created angels. We don't know when. And then he decided to create the earth. E, angels were created in holiness, but later some fell into sin. Your fill-in is holiness. God did not create any wicked angels or any sinful angels. All the angels were perfect in their ways until sin was found in them. Let's go to Ezekiel 28.
Sorry, Pastor, before I go further, in 38, Job,
yes,
7, when he says, when the morning stars, you know, I think Lucifer used to be known as the morning stars.
He was known as a morning star. Yes. Yes. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. John, would you read verse 14 and 15?
Therefore, son of man.
Nope. 28.
Yeah, and 15. 14 and 15.
Yes.
Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee.
Alright, so here's this top of all angels, and he was created. He was, and he was created, and he was perfect in all his ways until sin, until iniquity was found in him. So God created all these angels in holiness. Many of the angels sinned and became wicked by an act of their own will. We'll study this detail in our study on Satan later on. Fallen angels are called demons or unclean spirits or Satan's angels. We'll talk about that later. Their number, once completed the creation, are forever fixed. This is assumed because we never read of God creating more of them, and Jesus said they do not reproduce themselves, as we read Matthew 22, verse 30, it says they are not married or given in marriage, so they're not reproducing. Furthermore, since we're told they cannot die, Luke 20, verse 36, Romeo, Luke 20, 36. And if you will read start in verse 33. Luke 20:33-36.
Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Nor they can die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of resurrection.
Okay, that's enough. So we are equal to the angels, and just like we can't die anymore when we go to heaven, they can't die. So they're not being replaced. We just conclude that the number of angels never increases and never decreases. For this reason, they are considered to be a company of beings and not a race. The human race is constantly fluctuating and constantly growing or decreasing. Now, the nature of angels. First of all, what is an angel like? Angels are spirit beings. That's your first fill-in. Angels are spirit beings. Hebrews 1:14. We'll go back to you, Barry.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Alright, that 1:14?
Yep.
Are they not all ministering spirits? Alright. Are there different kinds of spirits? Barry?
Yep.
Alright. Well, I appreciate the fact that God gave us some ministering spirits, because they're not only some helpful spirits, there's some demonic spirits, there's some destructive spirits in the world, aren't there? Alright, so angels, the good angels, they're all called ministering spirits. Psalm 104:4 as well, Barry, please.
Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire.
Wow, alright. So he makes his angels spirits. In Ephesians 6:12.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Alright, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's as if to say their angels are not physical beings. I don't wrestle, I can wrestle with a table, I can wrestle with a bear, I can wrestle with Barry. But these things we wrestle against are spiritual. But that doesn't mean that they're everywhere. Meaning that, like, one angel is all over the world. Each angel is localized, having a definite and fixed limit and a spiritual form. 1 Corinthians 15. Edward, if you'll read that, 1 Corinthians 15, 39 and 40.
All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another.
And then the 44.
Therefore, do I skip 41?
Yeah, just go down to 44.
It is shown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body.
All right. So this is what's called terrestrial. All right, terrestrial, terra being earth. That's on the ground. What's up here? What is this called? This area is called celestial. Or what we would call it, heavenly. Alright? So when he's describing there in verse, what do we say? Verse 39 and 40, it says, all flesh is not the same. There is one kind of a body of a man, another of a beast, another fish and birds. There are also celestial bodies. And bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial, that's one glory. This is a glorious body. Alright, when Jesus showed off his glorious body on the Mount of Transfiguration, what they compared the brightness of him to?
The sun.
The sun. Peter, James, and John fell on their face and they says, good for us to be here. So they have a glorious body, but that's a spiritual body. Just as real as a natural body. Now, when I'm sitting down here and I'm having an argument with somebody and we're having a fight. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, don't fight flesh and blood. Fight the spiritual body that's behind that physical war that you're having. There's a spiritual force that you need to grapple with, you need to wrestle with. So there is a spiritual body and a natural body. We're learning that the angels have a celestial body. Philippians 3:12. Francis, Philippians 3:12. To the right of Ephesians 1.
Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ.
Okay, read verse 20 and 21 to go with that, please.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we go. For the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to keep all things.
Alright, there are some things I can't subdue. I have had a wart on this finger for about 10 years. And I have tried with freezing. You ever bought these little things that you psst, and you freeze the wart?
You try, doctor.
I want to get to that. I have tried drops on it, and I have tried everything, and it's still there. Now, the best thing I ever did was duct tape or just regular Sellotape, and it starves it, and it reduces it. It won't go away. I can't subdue it. All right? But there will be one day where this, and look what he calls his body. He says, there is somebody who will change our vile body, our messed up body, and one day make it like his glorious body. So this body is going to be changed, and I will subdue all warts on that day. Amen. So it's just, he will change our vile body so it'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And the angels have that type of a body. Alright? That's what we're trying to get us. They are spiritual beings. Now, number one, angels are normally invisible. They're normally invisible, but they can become visible and appear in various forms. And I'm glad they don't normally. You imagine how freaked out this universe would be if you constantly were running into angels appearing in front of you. I'm glad angels don't just appear out of nowhere and go, hi. There'd be panic everywhere. Somebody says, why didn't God do more miracles? Because it would freak us out. We have to have some normality, folks. So, angels are normally invisible. Number two, they can appear, God bless you, as men. Notice this, Matthew 28, 2 and 3. Matthew chapter 28 there, John, verse 2 and 3. Angels can appear as men. And as far as I'm concerned, angels are always described using the masculine gender. Matthew 28, 2.
Have you heard the theory that the guys at the tomb were Elijah and Moses, the angels at the tomb?
I hear all kinds of theories. I don't give them anything. People are great with theories, and maybe it is, maybe it's not. But if they're there, why are they there? Like, why would they even... It just says angels. All right, so, John.
His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers in shade, and became as dead men.
Alright, well, you didn't read verse 2. Alright, didn't I hear you?
Oh, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. Sorry.
His. So it refers to his countenance, not her. Yeah. Alright, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And so those are filling his and his number. In Luke 24, it says, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Well, they were angels, but they were referred to as men. Acts 1:10 says, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They are not men, they are angels. And Mark 16:5 says, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white, long white garment. Talking about when they looked inside the tomb where Jesus had laid, they saw a young man. sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. We're always looking at angels here. Certain angels appear with wings and are said to fly. Isaiah 6:2 describes the seraphim. Daniel 9:21. Let's go to Daniel 9:21. Two men, yes. Mm-hmm. All right, Romeo, Daniel 9 and verse
21. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being cast to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of evening offering.
Okay, just stop there. So Gabriel comes and he is flying swiftly. So Gabriel has an ability to fly. He appears to have wings. We also have Revelation 14 in verse 6. Now, not all angels do. Certain angels have the ability to fly. Revelation 14 and verse 6.
Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water.
Okay, so there was an angel that flew in the midst of heaven. So certain angels appear to be able to fly and imply that they have wings. Number four. Angels may be seen with a glorious appearance. In Luke 9:26, it says, He, Jesus, shall come to his own glory and in his Father's, and of the... Let's go to Luke 9:26. Back to you, Barry.
For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels.
Okay, so we talk about he'll come in his own glory, and in his Father's glory, and in the glory of the holy angels. That's your fill in there. Of the holy angels. And then also, Barry, if you'll read Revelation 10:1, we're going back and forth, but you're looking at some of these characteristics of angels. No, Revelation 10:1.
And I saw another angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
You wouldn't want to meet these guys. I mean, they're beautiful, but they're terrifying. They're absolutely terrifying. When angels do normally appear, how do they appear to people? Barry,
like men.
They appear as men, and that's for our comfort.
So do you think, even in today's age, do you think some guy walks up to you and he's wearing a shirt and a pants or whatever, and he's got a hat on, and he looks like just a normal guy? He could be an angel.
He could be. That's why our Hebrews is just being very cheeky when it says, entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. It implies that at any point you could encounter an angel, and the angel could be directing you, could be encouraging you, could be rebuking you, and you not know it, and you would never know it. So you're supposed to meet every stranger like Abraham did when he met those three men and found out they were angels.
You meet a really nice guy, and then you never see him again.
I tried to figure that out. I think I told you. When I met Martin first day, and when he was so hungry for the Bible, I was discouraged because I had knocked on 500 doors in Blarney, and they were just mocking about, they were always talking about Mary, and they were always talking about the Eucharist, and they were always talking about Majigori, and all about Lourdes, and everything. I wanted to get to talk about the Bible. And when I met Martin, and Martin says, man, I want to learn the Bible, and I went, are you an angel? Are you just going to disappear on me one day? I couldn't believe that somebody was that hungry for the Bible after what I had been around. So, but no, he stuck. So he wasn't an angel. He's close to it, though. It should be noted that a person needs the right conditions to see and observe another sphere or realm. For example, an atom cannot ever be detected or revealed by our five human senses. You'll never see an atom in light or with your eyes. It has to be seen with special equipment in order to detect an atom's existence. Well, neither can light be seen at particular wavelengths or frequencies in the electromagnetic spectrum. Like, you'll never see ultraviolet light, or you'll never see gamma rays, you'll never see X-rays. You see the effects of them, but you'll never see an X-ray. How many of you have ever seen what's called a spectrum, a light spectrum? And there's in a light spectrum, there's a small band of what's called, I don't know if I have all the colors that I could use, but there's a small band of red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, violet, seven colors in the very middle where light is, where visible light is, okay? So these are called, this is what we call our rainbow. Come here. All right, that's where light, that's your eyes can see those colors, all right? But in this direction, and in this direction, you can't tell it. This is called ultraviolet, and it becomes gamma radiation and X-rays. I think gamma radiation is more powerful than X-rays. Off into, man, incredible. Down here, this is called infrared. You can't see infrared, but you can get glasses or certain equipment that can see infrared and then translates it into visible light so that you can see heat. And it goes all the way down to radio waves. You can't see a radio wave, but they're all part of what's called the electromagnetic spectrum. I think when we get to heaven, we'll see sound. Okay? We will hear, our senses will open up. So anyway, I can only see this one bit of color. I can see red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, violet. But I can't see X-rays. I can see them destroy things. I can see them make a picture out of it. But that rainbow, that's all I can see. Where angels are, I don't know. But they're not visible. They're not in our visible. But that doesn't mean they're not there. Number B. Angels are not subject to death or any form of extinction. We never read in the Bible about an angel dying or being killed. Luke 20:36 says, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. Number two, men die, angels never die. But angels can suffer eternal punishment. Let's go to Matthew 25:41. Who did I just have read? It was Barry, wasn't it? Okay, so, Edward, would you read Matthew 25:41.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Wow. So the devil's going to be punished and he will feel the pain. Eternal torment. So will his angels. So angels can feel pain. They can feel punishment. So you're saying, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, as you're filling. Revelation 20:10. Let's look at that. Edward, if you would read that as well. Revelation 20, verse 10.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Okay, so what's your fill in there?
Forever?
No, well, no, you got four fill ins there.
Yeah. To the lake of fire. I shall be tormented. The first one there will be shall be tormented. They are forever?
Nope. Day and night.
Day and night.
And then for
ever,
ever and ever. Alright, so devil, the angels that followed him, everything shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Alright, we gotta stop there. Alright, you got that fill in there? Mm-hmm. Or day and night forever and ever. They're not subject to death or any form of extinction, yet they still can feel pain. Alright, I hope you're learning some things about angels. That does not mean I know everything. I have kept this up until now to teach only because there are a lot of questions I have about it. But that doesn't mean it's not worth learning. And hopefully Barry will figure them all out for us in time. He's always good at... as long as he doesn't believe that they're woman angels.
Created. Created human beings.
Do you know, I've seen the Catholic Bibles, and what have they got in the beginning pages of the Bible? Little bitty baby cherubs. Yeah. Flying babies. And I've read, and I wasn't told this, but I've read that a lot of Catholic parents used to teach their children, well, your little baby brother was up in heaven, and then God brought him down to earth. And that's almost Mormon, okay? But anything but the truth. It's just, there was no baby cherub up in heaven. Do you know there are no babies in heaven? They're actually, when they... Can you imagine going to heaven and being a baby all your life? Imagine being a baby in heaven forever? No, no. When you get to heaven, you get a glorified body, you're an adult. Alright, so... And when you turn 90 and 95... And you go to heaven, you go backward. You get back to that perfect age. And the greatest theory I've got is that I hope to live to be 103. But when I die, if the rapture hadn't occurred, I get to go to heaven and I go to 33 years old. The age that Jesus died and was buried and rose again was the perfect age. And we will be like him. Well, I still can remember how much energy I had when I was 33. I wish I was 33 again. I remember being 20 wishing I was 25.
More energy when you're in your 20s, though.
Yeah, but I had no sense. Yes, sir.
Is everyone going to be the same age in heaven? Or
don't know. The guess is that age won't matter, but you will be an adult. Okay? And the best age for an adult is around 30, 31, 32, 33. So, yes, you, when you get to heaven, you won't look like you. You'll look like an older you. Me, I'll look like a younger me. Okay? So, and it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. And nobody wants to be... Can you imagine your grandparents being in heaven going, I'll catch up with you in a few weeks. Just keep going on. Can you imagine walking... You're not going to be old when you get to heaven. You'll be young again. And you won't be a baby when you get to heaven. A lot of children die in infancy. But they didn't go to heaven and, you know, had to be a baby for the rest of eternity. Nope. You grow up very quickly. All right, let's stand. Let's pray. John, dismiss us, please.
Father, thank you, Lord, because we've got to learn so much out of your word today. Just keep teaching us, Lord. You help us to retain and remember all this stuff, Lord, that we're learning from your word. Most importantly, Lord, this just gives the opportunity from all that we're learning about you and how great you are, Lord, to share that with other people, Lord. Share your word and your goodness. And just give us that wisdom, Lord, that we might be able to speak and life and comfort, Lord, into other people's lives.
Amen.
From your word. So we just thank you for this time we get to spend together. And pray you bless us down, Lord. Keep us safe and bring us back together tomorrow for church for preaching and
Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.